You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us and tuning in to KVON 1440 AM in Napa. This is the San Lena Farmers Market hosting the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp, and I am the market educator for the San Lena Farmers Market. I have three fabulous guests with me today, and I'm so pleased that to have them sharing some of what they do with the market and how deeply involved they are with the community. First, I have Monica Stevens, who's co-owner of 750 Wines in St. Helena and co-founder with her husband David of Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch, based here in Napa Valley and serving many animals in need throughout the Bay Area. Second, Agnes Ramos, founder of and owner of Napa Valley Tea Company, a very popular vendor at the St. Helena Farmers Market for attendees of all ages, and a community-focused health professional here and abroad. And finally, Jeff Ellsworth, local artist, community activist, politician, and very important part of the St. Helena Farmers Market from a young age through himself and his family. Tell you a little bit about our market. We're located in Crane Park in St. Helena. We're open every Friday, May through October, from 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Our market provides exceptional seasonal produce from local farms, growers, as well as a wide variety of prepared foods and beautiful artisan goods. We're privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us also to focus on a variety of community education programs. This is our 32nd year, so it has been in the Valley for a long time, and we're always thrilled to come to you. We hope that all of today's listeners will have a chance to join us on Friday mornings. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce our first guest, Monica Stevens. Monica is a truly inspiring member of the Napa Valley community. She's a hospitality hotshot and co-founder of Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch and co-owner of 750 Wines in St. Helena, so she's very busy. She juggles the hospitality and well-being of both human and animal residents of the Napa Valley and beyond. So Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch is a frequent vendor at the farmers market. They spread the word about how members of the community can get involved, rescue pets and farm animals, and help volunteer to assist the organization or donate financially to the cause. Monica, when did you and your husband David start Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch? And tell us a little bit about the inspiration and a bit about the development of this incredible organization.
Good morning, Arwen. Thank you so much. And I love the hot shot. It makes me blush. I'm like, who's she talking about? We are so proud to be at the Farmers Market in St. Helena. And it is a wonderful opportunity for us to be in front of the community, which we value greatly, and to be able to showcase not only our adoptable pets, but the good work that we're doing and the needs that we have at any given time. So, parlaying on to that, David and I started Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch just over 4 years ago, and we believe that every animal deserves the best life that they can have. And with that, our organization started, and we started out small. Once again, we're only 4 years old. We started out small with a handful of volunteers, and we, to this day, we have 8 full-time staff, a cadre of about 200 volunteers, depending on the need, and several programs, including our disaster relief program, which I'll talk about later.
It is amazing how far you've come in just 4 years. So Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch, or fondly known within your organization as JAR, rescues all types of animals from many unfortunate situations. Can you give the audience an idea of the scope of the work that you do and a bit about how you get it all done?
Absolutely. So it's a big team. I always say it takes a village. Our village is our incredibly dedicated staff and our incredibly dedicated volunteers. We work not only in the Napa community, but in 10 surrounding counties. And the core of our work is, of course, rescuing animals out of a less than fortunate situation. but also providing support to our community members that need veterinary care, or they need their animal to be spay-neutered, or they need food or behavioral assistance. So we like to see ourselves as, sure, we are a rescue, but I believe we're so much more. We really like to be community partners with families, children, elders, and get people back to thinking about animals and nature and how wonderful both of those are.
It's amazing. And then, and you have right now not a physical location. Are the animals spread out through foster homes? And
sure.
Yeah, and this is another aspect of the volunteer
yes,
factor.
Exactly. So I always say fostering saves lives, but we were very fortunate in April to purchase a property in Carneros, and it is bare bones right now. It's going to take at least 2 years to develop. So we do have some animals out at the ranch. We call it the ranch. And most of our dogs are in foster homes because I believe dogs should be in homes.
Happier in a home.
Happier in a home. So much happier with their people. So we rescue, as you said, farm animals. So we have sheep. We have pigs. We have chickens, we have horses, we have dogs and cats. It's quite a menagerie and a collection.
That is quite a collection. And a lot of these came from recent fire disasters last year, or from all different types
yes,
of situations as far as the farm animals go?
Exactly. All types of situations, but primarily the horses and sheep came from the recent fires
wow,
of Napa.
Yeah, I know yeah. You guys were very, very busy during that time.
Yes.
So can you tell me and everyone listening how someone goes about adopting an animal from
Sure. Thank you. I always love to talk about adoption. So we have a beautiful website, and it's a long link, but it's Jamison Animal Rescue Ranch. And if you go on, click on adopt, you will see all of our adoptable animals. And then if you click on application, dog application, cat adoption application, you fill that out. That's the first step. Identify an animal that looks of interest to you. Send us your application. And then we like to do a meet and greet once we've read through your application.
So you guys do like a home check and make sure that everything is appropriate for the animals that are going in.
Thank you for saying that. So after the meet and greet is done, the next step is the home check. And after that is the actual adoption, which is the best day of my life when animals get adopted.
And I'm sure the best day of many people's lives. I can say my daughter spends a good amount of time looking at your website saying, Mom, 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 when are we getting a dog? When are we getting a dog?
Give her my number.
I know, right? No, I won't. Not until we're ready.
Yes.
But it's definitely on the list. So another fantastic aspect of what you guys are doing is Ella's Cat House and Catnip Bar, which is a fantastic name. I've had a chance to visit here in Napa. It's really like a cat fun house. It's a great concept and a perfect way to meet a new furry feline friend in a really relaxed setting. And a chance to really get to know them in a way that you wouldn't, greeting a cat behind bars in another situation. So what gives you the idea for this addition to the JAR project, and how can people visit the kitties there?
Absolutely. So Ella's was inspired by our partnership with Napa County Animal Shelter. We pull a lot of our kitties from the shelter in our partnership so that we can allow them to take in more and allow us to adopt them out. It is a lounge, so the kitty cats are strutting their stuff. They have access to a bed, to couches. We are open Friday through Sunday, 12 to 6, and you can come in and love on the kitty cats, fill out an application, and hopefully through the process, have a furry feline friend within a day or two in your home.
Oh my gosh, I know. I've seen a couple come and go, and they're so cute. They're showing off in the window in their window seats.
Oh yeah.
Yes, they're very, very luxe accommodations and the most amazing array of cat toys that I've ever seen. So, as we've kind of said, it really does take a village to accomplish what, you're doing and these heroic things that you're doing. I know you have many dedicated volunteers, but I'm sure you always need more depending on the situation. Currently, do you have pressing volunteer opportunities, and how can people get involved?
Thank you. We do have two. One is ranch work. Come out and get involved in our horse program, our cat program, our dog program. And I'm just going to give you my cell number. If you want to get involved, give me a call. I'll put you in touch with our volunteer coordinator. The number is 707-815-8153. Give me a call, and I will walk you through the different opportunities out at the ranch. We're also putting together a disaster team of volunteers. So, unfortunately, if a disaster does strike here in Napa County, we can call upon you to help us in some way, shape, or form.
So you've got those people lined up that have trainings, and you were just saying earlier that you're having a disaster training
tonight.
For
Napa Cart. Yes.
Gotcha. For large
farm animals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which I'm sure are more challenging.
Very much so.
And especially in really scary situations.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. And then people can also obviously check in to your website if they forget your number.
Get lost in our website.
It is a
lot
great
going
website.
On.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. So tell me a little bit about your Peace of Mind Society and what that is and what's involved.
Well, Arwen, thank you again, because the Peace of Mind Society is just that. We are looking to provide peace of mind to, you know, animal lovers that are trying to make a plan for their future. In the event that they were to pass before their animal, they want to make sure that their animal's provided not only medically, but into the right home. So what they do is they write us into their will. They want to make sure that upon their death, their animals are provided for in the way that they deem fit. So we partner with folks of all ages, working with their attorneys to come up with the right solution for these people's peace of mind for their animals. And it's just so nice to work with these folks. They know that Jameson will take care of their animal upon their death.
That is amazing. That is really a great peace of mind for a difficult time in life. And you guys have so many other, I mean, there's just so many aspects of all the things. I can't believe how much you've grown and put together in a four-year period with support of animals in all different ways. Can you sort of expand upon a few of the other programs that
I'd love to talk about disaster
program. Absolutely.
The community needs to know. In fact, this was great news. The Rescue Bank, in conjunction with Greater Giving, is delivering 26 pallets on Saturday to us of food, dog and cat food, all kinds of supplies, kitten litter, bottled water, blankets. We are the leaders in preparation work for disaster. So we're taking in all of these supplies. We are going to have them available to our community here in Napa County and surrounding counties. And this is, you know, networking with the state. This is garnering, we have 25 volunteers coming out to help to unload these 26 pallets, but we want our community to know that we're ready for them in their time of need. That's so important. They feel protection.
Yeah, that
we're
is
here
great.
For them.
That is.
That's a huge program of ours, and that kind of just started last year in October.
Right, and you guys were, I'm sure, very inundated with calls at that.
Oh my goodness!
At that time,
yes. so that there's many. We have 9 programs. That's probably at the top of our list right now, especially during fire season.
Right,
and I would like the listeners to know that once again, my number 707-815-8153. Should you need us.
And do you have need for livestock trailer drivers and
we do
and all of that?
Thank you. Yes, another need is a list of people that are ready to go with their trailer or their vehicle should be gassed up and ready to go, parked in the right direction, trailer hit, hooked up and cleaned out, and if you want to get on our call list, I'd love that too. So whether you have a livestock trailer or a 3-horse trailer, we need you.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Yes, well, so if anybody out there is inclined to be on the rescue team, definitely give Monica a call, check into the website. So we just barely touched on the new project in Carneros. I know it's a little ways out, but can you just give us a little bit more of a sneak peek on what's happening there and what we can look forward to?
Yes, Arwen, it's going to be I'm calling it a campus. So it's going to be a campus of all domestic animals. So when you come on site, you'll be able to visit with a horse, ponies, llamas, pigs, goats, sheep, of course, dogs and cats. One of the most exciting buildings on the property is going to be our education center. And it's going to be a place for learning, both children, adults, seniors. We're really trying to impress upon education with the community of humans so they understand better how to take care of their pets.
Right. That's amazing.
It's really important.
Some great opportunities, and you're looking at a couple years out before...
Yeah, 2020. I'd say the end
crossed.
Of 2020.
Great. Well, if anybody can get it done, you can.
Thank you, Arvin.
Well, so, I encourage everybody to become involved. Monica is available and a very busy lady, but so involved in the community. And Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch is really an amazing organization. So thanks so
Thank
much,
you.
And it's very inspiring to
thanks,
talk to
Ellen.
You. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll talk to you soon.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
You're listening to Kayvon's 1440 with Farmers Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. We're here with the St. Helena Farmers Market and some fabulous guests that we have today. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp, and I'm the market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. If you're just joining us, we have Monica Stevens, co-owner of 750 Wines and co-founder of Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch, Agnes Ramos, who's the owner of Napa Valley Tea Company, and Jeff Ellsworth, a local artist and community activist. So we just had a chance to speak with Monica about Jameson Animal Rescue Ranch and the help that they offer to animals in need throughout the region. And next up, I am really happy to introduce Agnes Ramos, who is the founder and owner of Napa Valley Tea Company, a certified level 3 tea master, and a very community-minded health professional. So, Agnes, are you originally from the Napa Valley? And if not, kind of how'd you get here?
Well, good morning, Arwen. I'm originally from the Philippines, and I moved here in the United States 39 years ago. And I settled in the Napa Valley 20 years ago. And the reason for that was because I was in the medical field. I work as a physical therapist,
gotcha.
Assistant at different hospitals, uh-huh. And now I work in Healdsburg Senior Center over there. So doing rehabbing people with disabilities and recovering from surgeries,
gotcha.
And stuff.
Gotcha. So, How long have you been serving your amazing teas at the St. Helena Farmers Market?
10 years.
10 years.
Would you believe that?
No.
10 years. I was trying to recall, when did I start it? Dang, it was 10 years ago. But I was very slow on getting it going because my field is in the medical field.
Right.
I don't have any business degree
background.
Or business background, mm-hmm. But I credit it from my mom, who was a very, very good business entrepreneur, and I learned some stuff from her.
Yeah.
So
in your spare time, then you started a new company.
Yes.
So what was the inspiration behind starting a tea company, and kind of where did that come from?
Well, I've been drinking tea since I was little, and one day I was let go from the hospital, and I said, okay, what can I do? Because when you get to be, you know, around age 60, you're not going to be able to lift patients all the time. But I want to continue spreading good health to community,
right.
To people. And I wanted to target kids first. Nowadays, it's better nowadays than it was 10 years ago when I was introducing tea to kids. Kids don't know what tea is all about, so I have to educate them.
Well, you have such a great setup at the market with the tasting and the just the way the booth is laid out. It is very user friendly and approachable. So you started with trying to get kids to drink tea.
Yes, and the first 3 years of my business, I would say the 1% of my customers are kids. Now it's 10 years, I would say 40% of our kids who buy tea from me.
Better market share.
Yes. Yeah, and actually they bring in more of their siblings, and some parents says that the reason they come to the market is because they want their mango bongo.
So, there you go.
So that, yes, that was the purpose.
I know. My daughter is a big fan, and is definitely makes a beeline for you whenever she's at the market. So
right.
So I read a little bit just as far as your community involvement internationally about your efforts to get first aid kits to remote parts of the Philippines. Can you tell us a little bit about that adventure and kind of what inspired that?
Well, I went back to the Philippines for the first time after 25 years being absent. And we went to one of the islands in the Philippines. One of the little boy there had a seizure happening. And all my friends were calling me because they wanted to know how to help him right. out. And I said, okay. And I saw the father shaking this little boy.
Oh, dear.
That's not like crazy.
And I said, necessarily the right approach.
Yeah. So I took the boy, and while I was holding him, I saw his body was full of cellulitis. It's all wound, open wound.
Oh, dear.
All over.
Right.
And I asked the locals to see if they have any first aid kits.
Right.
They brought me a toolbox, rusted toolbox with rusted covered gauze, and it was really bad.
And that was all that they had.
Fortunately, one of my friends who works for a pharmaceutical company, I said, did you have any first aid kit? Because I need them.
Yeah.
So I cleansed the boy's wound and wrapped it up, and I asked the father to take the boy to a local doctor and gave them money to take them because they don't have money. It's a very, very rural area.
Yeah.
So, and that's what triggered my thinking of maybe I should start doing a first aid kit project where I could collect my tips jar that we get from the farmer's market and put it into purchasing little items for first aid kit.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I have great response also with the Queen of the Valley, who's helping me out.
Oh, good.
If they have stuff that they're not using anymore. Right. Now it's in my storage.
Right.
So I'm still collecting them because we're planning to go next in May or June, somewhere around there, to fly to the rural areas of the Philippines. The people in the Philippines, before they get to a clinic, it takes them half a day or almost a day to get to a clinic.
By foot mainly. Yeah, yeah.
And so why can't I just give them an education on, you know, teach them how to use a simple bandaging, a simple, putting a little bit ointment here.
Yeah.
Just the it's like when you do a triage, you do that first and then before taking it to that.
So if anybody out there is interested in maybe assisting you with this project, can they contact you on your Facebook page?
Yes, and you can call me at 707-320-7445.
Fantastic. So hopefully somebody out there is ready to put together 200 first aid kits and help you with your cause.
Yeah, and we're also I'm trying to get people to see if they want to come with me to the Philippines and volunteer to teach, because I can teach first aid class and CPR, but I need other people to come and see if they could help us.
Fantastic. Well, let's see what we can do to get some of the listeners to come volunteer to help you out there.
Thanks.
So back to tea. I understand that you have a Tea Master certification, and I'm really curious to know what that is and what it means and kind of what the process was to get that.
Well, having to get this Tea Master certification, it costs a lot of money, but I needed it because I wanted to learn more. And so we take classes for each category of teas. It's like being a wine sommelier.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like that. So you get tested, tasting and tested. And when I took the class I on level three, I thought I was done. But they added on level four. So
you're a level four now?
No, I'm still on level three. Okay, gotcha. Trying to get to that point.
Right.
But I attend the certification, and normally they would offer it the World Tea Expo.
So you taste and smell and understand the ingredients and stuff. So did tea play kind of a part in your childhood? And is there any favorite memories you want to share as far as how tea in your life?
I've drank tea, like I said, since I was little, and herbs that my mom would concoct for us to get better with our, like, even to take a bath with tea. Like the guava leaves for itchiness, you take a bath with a hot bath of guava tea leaves. Guava tea leaves.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's great. So I think that that tea is a great, there's a great ceremony to it and so many health benefits. So.
Yes.
So you can classify many, items as tea. A lot of things are called tea, but there's actually really truly quote-unquote tea. What is that and where is it typically grown?
Good question. Everybody thinks that white tea came from a white tea plant and green tea came from a green tea plant and so on. But it's actually a varietal called Camellia sinensis, and there's also Camellia asamic. There's a hardy one and a very delicate one. So in order to categorize between from white to black, it goes through a process. So once you pluck the two leaf and a bud for the first step and withered it, and that's now white tea.
Gotcha.
And then when you go to the next step, which is either you pan fire it or you steam it. Pan firing usually is done by Chinese, and steaming it is usually done by Japanese. And that's the originators of processing teas.
Right.
Then on the Chinese side, there's that what we call aging and fermenting, which is the category for pour. Mm-hmm. Pour is ages like a wine being aged.
Mm-hmm.
They taste like earthy,
right.
But the older they are, the smoother they taste. Mm-hmm. And it's great for people with GERD. Stomach problem.
Right.
It absorbs fat. It neutralizes acidity on that point. And then from that point, you have oolong. Oolong is the next category, semi-oxidized. It has a little bit of darkness to it and roastiness in taste.
Smokiness.
Yeah. Well, not quite smokiness, but it has a hint of that because of the way they are processed.
Right.
And then after that, it becomes black, which is fully oxidized. That's why the color changes as you infuse them.
Gotcha.
But black is the most of oxidized. That's why it's dark.
Fantastic. So have you gotten a chance to venture to any tea plantations around the world?
That will be when I go for my first aid kit project. Yeah, because I just discovered just this year there's 5 plantations in the Philippines that just started, and I've been to Bigelow over in the Carolinas, and then I also been to Hawaii at Hilo for some of the tea plantations there, and it was wonderful.
Yeah,
but there's local one who's trying to grow them over at Dixon. He owns a tea houses in San Francisco, Roy Fong. And I wanted to learn how to pluck and do the processing of the tea.
Yeah.
So hopefully I could once he's got it all together. He's playing with the pH level of the soil. So.
And then do you grow any of your any of the plants that grow into your teas? And where do you source other ingredients?
I wish I could grow all the ingredients, but I couldn't just because there's so many things involved in making and blending tea. But what I do is I support small farmers within California mm-hmm. who dries and those are my resources who right. dries their ingredients like chamomile, you know,
hibiscus
right. and all of that. It's right. within California.
Right. Gotcha.
And then, but the tea itself, I get it from local co-ops in different countries uh-huh. because they can't afford to ship, you know, to do all these big orders. Right. So the local small farmers who are all organic or organically grown, uh-huh. they go to and join a co-op.
Right.
And that's where I get them. And I get to meet them. Right. I get to meet them at the World Tea Expo. Oh,
fantastic. That's great. It all just ties into everything that we find important at the farmers market. So,
yes.
Sort of branching into another one of your projects that you've been involved with, which is the National Heirloom Exposition, uh-huh. Pure Food Fair, which is running September 11th through the 13th. So coming yes. up really soon in Santa Rosa.
Yes.
And you've been involved with that since the beginning, since it started in 2010.
Yes, I think it's 2011. Years. Yeah, and it's been great. They invited us. This is a nonprofit organization where they all the proceeds of the sales of everything from the tickets to all the fruits and vegetables that's going to be sold at the end of the event mm-hmm. goes to the local schools for their gardening projects.
Is that the school garden project?
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
fantastic.
Yes. Yes. And everybody benefits from it. All you have to do is call them. And if their school, local schools in Napa would like to be involved with it, they can reach out for the National Heirloom Expo.
That's great. And are they involved in like school, like the actual gardening and in
yes.
educating
yes.
teachers how to start a garden project?
And correct.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That's
and
great.
And they have their main office, but there's a branch of their office in Petaluma.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Baker Seed
right,
Company.
Right,
have
right.
you guys?
Yeah.
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 Over
I've,
there.
Yeah, in that fantastic building that they took over.
Oh, they just moved.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they just moved.
Okay, so. All right. So are there lectures and information for home gardeners as
yes.
well?
Yes, this event is very, very user-friendly and at the same time, great speakers teaching you the importance of non-GMO. And there's also great speakers, young speakers, who are now really focusing on youth. It will be our young farmers of the future.
Right, the future.
So there's this young lady. She's going to be one of the speakers over there. And then another group of people will talk about the Monsanto
right.
thing, how we can fight this.
Right.
You can bring your seeds, too, by the way. There's a seed exchange. There's yeah. You can learn how to plant more sustainable way. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds kids, like everybody should go.
Yes, everybody should go. And the kids are all but the school comes.
Right.
They bus them to
oh, good.
To the Heirloom
Fantastic.
Expo. So
that's
hopefully
great.
Napa can get there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. So that's, again, September 11th through the 13th
yes.
at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds. And you can look them up. It's the National Heirloom Expo. So just quickly, are there locations where people can get Napa Valley Tea Company tea in Napa other than the farmer's market?
Well, you can get them at, there's one in Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in Sonoma, which is over at the Cornerstone Market,
okay.
Potter Green.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have it at Oakville Groceries. We were at Whole Foods, but something happened in between
the takeover.
Mm-hmm. So we're working on that right now. And then we have them at the CIA. We have them at different restaurants in the valley
right.
that they serve
yeah.
our teas. So, because yeah. our main business is actually food service.
Right. Fantastic.
So
lucky. Lucky guests at the restaurants.
Yeah, it's all over the valley. If you guys would check
Fantastic.
It out.
Fantastic. Well, it's so great to hear about this. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Farmer's Fresh Hour on KVON 1440 AM and streaming at kvon.com. We're here in the studio with Salina Farmers Market and three guests that we've had an opportunity to speak with, too, Monica Stevens and Agnes Ramos, we've just gotten finished with. And our next guest is Jeff Ellsworth. Jeff is a longtime Salina resident, a local artist, a community activist, and member of the Salina City Council. He and his family have been an integral part of the Salina Farmers Market for years. His late father was a chemical engineer turned winemaker, a fixer of all things mechanical, print artist, and he served on the Salina Farmers Market Board of Directors in various capacities, including president, and continued to be a vital part of the market after he retired from the board. Jeff's mother is also an artist. She started many local community groups and illustrated Eating Salina, a recipe memoir, a generation's family favorite. Which is a fantastically illustrated book amongst a myriad of other artistic projects. So we sell reproductions of some of her pieces at the market store. Jeff also has painted our famous tractor logo and other images that we use throughout the market. I guess we can say that the Ellsworth family is really truly a part of the history of the Salina Farmers Market. So Jeff, we're so happy to have you here this morning. Just give us a little idea, as a long-term resident and part of the Salina Farmers Market family, how long have you been coming to the market, and can you share some early memories of that?
Well, I think I've been coming, I was trying to think, but I think at least 15 years, and maybe, when did it move over from, do you remember what year it moved? Okay.
No.
So I think I've been at least 15 years.
Yeah.
And I remember my getting involved, my dad had gotten involved, and one of the things that he did was he brought in the idea. They weren't able to keep the coffee hot at first, and my dad, you know, was an engineer, and he said, you know, I think I can figure this out. And so they were brewing it someplace else and bringing it over, and it wasn't staying warm long enough. So he put together this portable brewing system, so they could brew it on site. And that was the kind of thing my dad, he could always come up with the creative solutions.
A solution.
Yes. So I remember that. And then another thing I remember was I was selling my paintings. I have a booth that sells paintings, and I have books that I do and cards. And my father came by and he said, you know, all these other booths, these food booths, they have samples. He said, you should have a little sample out there. He said, why don't you make some little paintings, put a toothpick in them, and have some samples out there. So I implemented that, and that was a successful tool. And then one other thing I thought of was, early on, I did a performance at the farmer's market, and I do this musical performance with a lot of props and costumes, and it's something that kids and parents like. And my shows usually have a theme, like a cowboy theme or a football theme or a pirate theme. And so I was putting together a show for the market, and the amount of time was going to be very short. I couldn't do one of these full shows. So I just picked different parts of these different shows and put them all together and was performing the show, and it was so disjointed. There were too many things in too short a period of time. I remember looking at the audience, and they were looking at me like, we don't really get this. And I'm performing it thinking, I don't really get it either. So we got through it. It was all very entertaining. But afterwards, I went over and, you know, talking to people in the market, and they were saying, what was that? And I was, I really don't know. I was just kind of experimenting there.
It was a mishmash show. So being the son of a much beloved local artist, were you inclined from an early age to become a painter? I mean, often kids don't want to have anything to do with what their parents do. And what inspired you and when did you start painting?
Well, it was never anything I thought that I would do. I had a lot of interest growing up, and drawing and painting were something we did when we were kids. My mom, anytime we were sick or not feeling well, would encourage us to do that, or just any time. And it was only in my mid-20s, or late-20s, actually, I was up in Eugene, Oregon, and I started painting a mural where I was living. I talked to the landlord and said I wanted to do a mural on the wall, and he said that was fine. And so I just started working on it every day. And it was something that at the end of the day, I'd come work on it for 20 minutes or half an hour. And I started really not just liking what I was doing, but I started feeling good about working with color and expression. And I realized it was connected to what I did as a kid with my mother bringing in this idea that if you're not feeling well, just paint or draw. And so I found a very therapeutic quality to it that I hope is still in the work. And I started out as a more abstract painter, and now what I do is more figurative with an abstract element. Yeah. But it was the underlying therapeutic engagement that's really the core of what I do. And I also think that's with my mother's work as well, where people say to me, they've had a painting of hers for 20 years or 30 years, and they say, we don't know why, but every time we look at it, it's in our house, we just feel better. And so that's what I aspire to, too, with my work. And that's where the connection with my mom and my work
is. Yeah,
that's
fantastic. So your very charming tractor image has become the permanent logo for the farmer's market and has been spotted around the world on people's shirts and other stuff from the farmers market that people send us pictures for. So that's super fun to see that. You also created logos for our sponsor programs, the Market Classroom, the Chef's Table, and the Lecture Series. And these programs are focused on education of children and adults in the community. And I'd just like to know what other ways you're involved in the community as an artist, and tell us a little bit about your ideas about fostering young artists in the community.
Well, I think that's a really important thing. One of the things that I think, and this is not just something in Napa County or Napa Valley, but there's a step between being in school and doing art and being an artist to doing it in life afterwards. And many artists, it's a challenging profession.
In many ways, yes.
Yeah, so it's... I knew a guy who was a professor at a university. He said most of the people that come through their programs don't end up practicing. They go on to something different. And so I think having the idea of a ladder for young artists is very important, because if we don't support local regional arts, something else comes in. And so it's like growing vegetables in Napa County. It's a specific soil. It's a specific thing we grow. It's got a sense of place. Mm-hmm. And so I believe the same with art, that it needs to be fostered through the schools, but also there needs to be a next step of support, and whether it's coming through art spaces to work or funding or gallery exhibitions, something that says this is important, not just as something that's part of the school curriculum, which it is, but also if we want to have strong local art, we need to, as a community, create a venue and help younger artists who want to be
grow some artists.
Yeah, grow some artists. Absolutely. That's a way to think about it, you know?
And are you taking any steps towards kind of fleshing out this idea anything that people might want to know about?
Well, I don't have anything personally that I do in terms of any kind of programming, but over the years when there's been an opportunity to help somebody or guide somebody or mentor somebody, I was very lucky growing up. I had a few people who came into my life and helped me understand the challenges of being an artist. And really the most important thing is that you continue.
Yeah.
And And there's times where you realize that if you don't find it within yourself, it's not gonna keep going. So I try to encourage that in people. What can I do to help them get to the next step and keep going? I think that there are things that we can do in the community, on the council now. We can think about policy that might create the kind of environment where we could be more helpful too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it seems that community involvement has always been an important part of your family life. Your mother, Phoebe, started the Walking Woman's Group in St. Helena, and through conversations during those 3-mile walks in every morning, was inspired to write and illustrate Eating St. Helena, a recipe memoir and a generation's family favorites. Were you involved in that project, and was food and cooking also always a part of your life growing up?
Well, it was certainly a part of our family's life. It was nothing that I was that interested
in. You're not the next chef.
Yes, no, I'm not the next chef. But I like painting chefs. But Phoebe worked on this book, and it was a really amazing book because it's a book of recipes, but it's a history book of St. Helena and Napa Valley from the 1960s and 1970s. Mm-hmm. And so it's stories from families that relate to what they were cooking and what they were eating. And it's a whole different list of ingredients than what people often use now. It's mm-hmm. It really shows the culture of that time. And she was meticulous about the research, and she's done numerous books and biographies of people, and she really likes this kind of digging into the history. And so it took her a while to put this together. And she had done other projects before that she had done in a shorter period of time. So we didn't know quite what she was working on. But the fact that she did it and she put it out many years ago, and it's still, people are asking for it and people love it today. So I think the work she put in creating this sort of history book.
Right, and we do have that book at the general store at the St. Helena Farmers Market, just to put a little plug in there for that one.
Great.
It is very interesting to look and see what a difference, you know, time makes as far as what people are using, and some similar and some really different. So in addition to being an artist and being very much a part of the community, you kind of took that to the next level. And 2 years ago, is that correct? You were elected to the St. Helena City Council?
Yes, in 2016.
Fantastic. And what kind of inspired you to take it to that level? And tell us a little bit about your focus as a member of the St. Helena City Council.
Well, I had been, I grew up in St. Helena, grew up in Napa Valley, and I loved this place and I loved the people here. As an artist, I had been traveling. I had been spending a lot of time in Los Angeles and traveling around the country doing shows and performances. And so I had been spending less time in St. Helena and probably more time in Los Angeles until about 5 years ago. And then I came up to visit, and somebody mentioned that they thought that we needed to relook at how we did our water system in St. Helena. And so that was the beginning of me asking questions about how we're managing our water, both in St. Helena and Napa County, and the realization that the water is the foundation of everything else we do. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that though I'm an artist, I grew up working for my dad at the Complete Winemaker, with doing all sorts of liquid flow application projects.
Let's just say you were hauling around hoses.
Well, my father worked on drip irrigation, sprinkler right. systems, liquid flow insulating jackets for winery tanks. And I realized I grew up around this stuff. So even though as an artist I was on a different path, I grew up doing these things. And I worked for another man, Tom Wick, installing gardens, lawns, and underground sprinkler systems. So I realized I had this body of knowledge relating to water and the way we distribute water that made me very aware that we can, I believe, do a much, much better job at how we manage our water, and that is a benefit to everybody in the community.
It's definitely an issue throughout California, and I think that for humanity in general.
Yeah, absolutely,
right now.
Absolutely.
Yes, fantastic.
Water is a water is a human right. But water's also a commodity. And so there's an interesting precious balance in there. Yeah. So how we manage that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it definitely is life, for sure. Well, I feel like there's so much that we haven't touched on. I just want to let everybody know, in case you're interested, Jeff is taking the next step in politics and running for mayor of St. Helena. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Fantastic. And is there anywhere, do you have a website that people can get information for you?
Yes, so ElsworthForMayor.com, and it's Ellsworth4, that's the number 4, mayor.com.
Okay, fantastic.
And then Jeff Ellsworth for mayor on Facebook.
That is great. So I hate to cut you off, but we do need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back at you with the Farmer's Fresh Hour.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Kayvon 1440 Farmers Fresh Hour. We've had a really fantastic conversation with our three guests. And if you didn't catch it, you can catch it, the recording, at kayvon.com. We hope that you'll all have a chance to join us at the Farmers Market, located in the beautiful Crane Park, Fridays, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. We have lots more in store this season. A couple of things coming up tomorrow. We'll have Chef Valentino Guolo Migoro from Camomi in Napa. She'll be giving a chef demonstration. Come and get some great tips on making gnocchi. Enjoy some samples and get a copy of the recipe. Honest Gems will be there with some amazing petrified wood slices that you can use as cheese boards or you can use just as decorative items. They're really amazing. Be Here Farms will once again be overflowing with their amazing flowers. If you haven't seen them, they are really very unique and not run-of-the-mill, as well as their amazing produce. We have our first Cinema Bites coming up at the Cameo Theater in St. Helena on September 17th at 5 p.m. The featured film will be Cuban Food Stories with some delicious Cuban bites provided by Oak Avenue Catering and Mojitos, so don't miss that. Also coming up is our annual Community Pancake Breakfast on the 21st from 9 to 10:30. Chef Lars is very famous for his pancakes, and it's always a really fun time. Come out and join us on the 21st for that. Stay up to date. We encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter found at sthelenafarmersmarket.org, and you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks for another Farmers Fresh Hour hosted by Wendy Strawn, one of our president of our board. And we hope that you have a chance to look and help volunteer for some of the wonderful programs that our guests today have. We will talk to you next time.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.